Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
So firstly, I want to look at the fact that Holy Spirit came with the power for regeneration. Holy Spirit came with the power for regeneration. Friends, we are born again not by the power of self-thinking, not by the power of the economic or the political system. You and I are born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me tonight? The power of God came into your life, and you were wooed by God through the Holy Spirit into that place of being born again. John writes in the first book of John, 1 John 3, verse 24, he says this: "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him." First part of the verse. He who keeps his commandments, he who obeys God's law, abides in him, in Christ, and Christ in him that obeys his commandments. The second part of the verse says this: "And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit," capital S, "whom he," God, "has given to us." The new life in Christ that you and I now live comes by the power of the Holy Spirit operating against that Antichrist that is so evident in our bodies, in our spirit man, in our thinking for most of our lives. And he comes in with that power of not thrashing, not beating us up, not giving us hard time. But he comes with that love and that grace of God to woo us back to the Father's love. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us of our lifestyle. It's the Holy Spirit who enlightens us of the need for Christ. You wondered about that? That he comes as a light into your life and he shines that light on those dark corners of your life. And he said, this is not living. This is not the life that Jesus laid down his life for. And slowly, sometimes miraculously, quickly, we surrender our lives to Christ. But friends, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that regenerates us. He's the one that prompts the words of Christ to us. Can you remember the first words that drew you to Christ? Was it John 3:16? Was it just a simple message about you being the light of the world or the salt of the earth? Was it simple words like, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden"? You see, the Holy Spirit will bring those words into our spirit, and instead of being a clash, what used to be, there'll be a connection, your spirit with the Holy Spirit, and there's a wooing and there's a surrender on your behalf to follow after him. You and I are able now to get to know Christ even more intimately and worship him more closely because of the work of Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's come over to the book of John, chapter 16. Let's just follow through some scriptures here tonight. Let's honor God because he honored us by sending Holy Spirit when Jesus returned to be with him in heaven. In verse 13 of John 16, it says this: "But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." The Amplified says the whole or the full truth. "For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give a message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. He will honor and glorify me," Jesus says, "because he will take of what is mine and will reveal it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine." That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal it to you. It's good to remind ourselves, I believe, that this life we now live should always revolve around Christ. He should always be the center part of your living, of my living. The centrality of Christ is founded on what? Rules? Regulations? Rituals? Routines? No, friends, can I suggest tonight that our centrality of Christ in our life is based on a relationship. Our relationship with God. Our relationship with God through knowing His Son. Our relationship with the Son through the connection through the Holy Spirit. We're talking spirit to spirit here. We're not talking man-made relationships. We don't sit down with Jesus on a Monday morning and have a latte, a croissant with bacon and cheese, wash it down with a cappuccino. Our life is about abiding in Christ. Not obeying the rules because we have to, but living under His instruction because we now want to. Holy Spirit doesn't point us out into doctrines, guidelines for life. He points us to Jesus. The Bible says Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the Alpha, the Omega, the Aleph and the Tet, beginning and the end. Holy Spirit's job is to point us. And as we said this morning, Jesus is the way to the Father, not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. Jesus leads us into the throne room of grace to be at one with His Father. You know, there's a lot of things that people say in church. Some people say such people are nice, kind, they're loving, they're helpful, they're caring. Most times in people and behave their best behavior Sundays. But is that truly what Christian life is all about? Being good, being moral. Gathering together every Sunday for a time of singing and fellowship. Is that why Jesus hung on that wooden cross for you and I? So we could just be nice, moral, well-dressed and well-behaved people on Sunday? The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinthians, says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul, the great man Saul, who was born again, led by the Holy Spirit, delivered of his old way of life, set up on a new path, says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you," what? "Except Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, and His anointing, and Him crucified." You know, being a Christian is not about just doing the right things, to look righteous, believe the right doctrines, knowing what it is to present as the right person. If we continue to believe that Christianity is something we do, friends, you and I are missing the point. Pentecost reminds me, and I hope it reminds you, it's not about what we do, about what God does in us. Are you a changed person because of the Holy Spirit residing in you? Or you are the same yesterday, today and forever? The Holy Spirit's job is to convict us as believers, to rekindle the fire that's in our hearts, to cause us to fall in love with Jesus over and over and over again. I don't profess to be a worship leader. I'm not a great singer. But I love to worship and I love to sing praises to the King. I love it when the fellowship together, and I love the fact that when we come together, I believe angels join in with us. But until we commit to knowing Christ as Lord and Saviour on a day-to-day basis, as long as we continue to live faithfully for Him, we will never be able to express the joy of being a Christ follower, being a Christian. Because living a Christian life has nothing to do with any other thing except a personal and a vibrant relationship with Christ. In the book of John, chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. The connection must stay a connection. And I believe that Holy Spirit is the connect door between us and Christ on a day-to-day basis. And until I live in that daily, constant relationship with Christ, I'm just going through emotion, I'm just going through a religious moment, I'm just going through an experience of life without experiencing a new life in Christ. You and I have got to be committed to knowing Him and loving Him on a daily basis, seriously. You ever had those casual friends? Once in a while they'll send you a Christmas card or send you a text or give you an email. Might even ring you up, might even pop in. And then they drift off. But you've got friends that will stick closer than a brother. They'll be there for you, thick and thin. They'll be through you through the tough times and the good times. Why does that happen? And yet doesn't happen in others' lives. Christ wants to be closer than a brother to us. He wants to be bonded to us on a daily basis, not just when we need Him. I don't want to be a distant follower of Christ. I don't want to be someone who looks like a Christian, acts like a Christian, but lack the power thereof. If there's no passion, if there's no power within, just an appearance, how long do you think that'll last? Just to look the part, just to sound the part, rather than actually be what Jesus said. Can I encourage us all, make time for Jesus. Make time to spend time with the Holy Spirit. I do it often on the run. The Holy Spirit convicts me. He says, now slow down. Once you've slowed down, sit down. Now you've sat down, spend time. Because I'm busy like you're busy. There's always something happening in our life. This relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit is a fundamental relationship. James 4:8 puts it this way. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. How hard is that? Draw close to Him, and He will draw close to you. Hasn't He already drawn you to Him? Yeah, to this. Yeah. And out of a relationship, you've been drawn to Him. James encourages us, draw nigh unto Him. Keep drawing. And as you're drawing, He's drawing. He doesn't sit there and go, you know, Sue, I haven't seen you for 6 months in church. About time you turned up, sweetheart. He goes, keep coming, Sue. Keep coming. He does that for all of us. Keep drawing. Keep drawing, because as you're drawing, I'm drawing. You know, it's like that prodigal son. The Bible says as the son came towards him, the father ran out to meet him. He didn't say, huh, is that boy again? He's after more money. The Bible says he ran out to greet him. That's the father's love for a son. That's the father's love for a daughter. Draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto you. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. You think about that. I want to know Christ. First point. Isn't that good? Didn't he put a full stop after that? No, because Paul knew out of his hunger, out of his thirst for more things of God, that in his drawing, he would want to know more about Christ, and more about Christ, and more about Christ. So he writes to the church in Philippi, he says, I want to know Christ. I want to know the Anointed One and His anointing. And the power of His resurrection. Same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now abides in you. That's the power of the resurrection. How much power did that take to bring Christ, the Anointed One, and His anointing back from the dead, back from the grave? How much power did it take for Jesus to go down into hell itself and grab those keys to life and death and bring them back? How much power did it take? And when he was out in the wilderness and the devil tempted him. For him to say no. It was written. 3 times he said that. Paul writes, I want to know Christ. I want to know the anointed one and his anointing. I want to know him. He's talking about an intimate relationship. And he said, I don't want to stop it there. I want to know about the power of his resurrection. Which leads me to my next point. The second point, the Holy Spirit is the power for renewal. Let me put it this way, really bluntly, really straight down the line, that your Christian life is not just about your salvation. It is about your transformation based on your salvation. If any man be in Christ, behold, he's a new creation. The old is passed away. Come on, the new is come. Anyone in Christ tonight? We come to salvation and God loves me just the way I am. Yes, he loves you the way you are. He loves you so much. He sent his son Jesus to die for you. But he does not want us to stay the same. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. God understands if I muck up on a Saturday night, because Sunday morning I can come to church and repent. Jesus didn't hang on the cross for that, friend. Everyone I know wants change for the better. New car, new house, new furniture. Doesn't have to be new, but better. And our neighbours knock on our front door this afternoon. We want a new fence. Great, don't rush into it. We want one too, but don't rush into it. You know, we look at our lives and we want a better way of living. We want to look better. We want to present better. We want to relax better. We want to exercise better. We want to eat better. There's so many things in our lives that's talking about better, and people will pay thousands of dollars to go to courses and seminars and workshops and buy self-help books and all those things to upgrade themselves, when Christ says upgrade to me and begin that transformation into a Christ-like image. You want an ultimate? You want a lasting life change? Be filled with the Holy Spirit daily. Keep yourself being topped up with the Spirit daily. He guarantees that he will change you from the inside out. You thought I was always this good looking, didn't you? I get better with age. I get better because of my deeper relationship with God. We see a radical change here in Acts chapter 2. People huddled together, 120 in that upper room. Holy Spirit comes into that room like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it appears like tongues of fire dancing on the head. And they begin to speak in all these languages and all these tongues. And they stay there for 2 weeks just glorifying God. Nuh-uh. They're so infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. They're so passionate about change. They go down into the middle of Jerusalem and they start to declare Jesus as the risen Savior. They start to speak in languages that the different people from different areas of the world have come from. And they begin to understand. And they draw them not to themselves, but they draw them to Jesus. That's what transformation is all about. That's what renewal is all about, because it's the Holy Spirit that brings renewal into a truly born-again Christian. And I'll put it this way. The Holy Spirit transforms us, and in turn, the world around us. What do I mean by that? You start to see things differently with Holy Spirit eyes. You start to hear things through Holy Spirit ears. You start to respond with the heart of God because of the Holy Spirit in your life. God is interested, friends, not just in saving you, but in changing you. Amen? He wants to change you back into his likeness. Can you picture that? The same image that God had in that Garden of Eden when he created man in his own image. That's the same image he wants for you and for I. Amen? To be just like Christ. to be passionate about the Father's kingdom, just like Christ. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, it says, "Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Live, friend. Live by the Spirit. He's the agent for transformation in your lives. He's the power behind the change in our lives. Ephesians 5 and verse 18 says, "Be filled." Not just topped up. Not just half full. The Bible says, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit." Change will come when we allow Him to take control. So the question now is, to what degree would you allow Holy Spirit to change you? To what degree is He already controlling you? We cry out in our singing, in our praise, in our worship, "Fill me again. Let your presence fill my life. Rain on us, Holy Spirit, rain." We sing all these songs. But are we prepared to give up a great degree, a small degree, or everything in our lives for Him? I looked at it this way. These lights above us, what position are they in now? On? What other position do they hold? Off. There's only two positions. You can put your glasses on to check. They're on, see? Now I can simply do this. Off. No relationship. On. Full relationship. Or when I'm discovering the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, I can be like a dimmer switch. Anyone got a dimmer switch in their house? There's off, there's on, Mr. Electrician. And in between that is a myriad of settings about the brightness I can allow into that space, into that room, into that home. And so it is with God. Someday we say, "God, give me the light." And He says, "You couldn't have." I say, "Okay, Lord, give me a little." And He says, "How much do you call a little?" You know what? God knows how much we can handle. He's the one transforming us. He's the one regenerating us. He's the one bringing up to His level of glory. Number three, the Holy Spirit is the power for revival. The power bring a cold world, sin-filled world, a dark world, back to God. Christian life is not just about being blessed. It's about sharing the blessing we have. Amen? 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, "He is patiently waiting." He is what? Patiently waiting. What is He patiently waiting for? The Bible says, "Not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance." The day of Pentecost was the day where the propagation of the good news about Jesus hit planet Earth like it never hit before. The power of the Holy Spirit came to those 120 in the upper room, and they went out. Remember Jesus' promise in Acts chapter 1? He said, "And you shall receive" what? Power. Come on, speak to me. "That which when the Holy Spirit comes upon you," thank you, Michael, "and you will be," come on, "in Jerusalem," come on, church, "Judea," oh, is that as far as it's going to go? My goodness, the power's run out. Oh, church, we ran out of Holy Spirit power. Jesus doesn't muck around. God doesn't muck around. God spoke to His Son Jesus after the day of resurrection. He said, "Keep spreading the message about the kingdom." That was what you read about. When He rose from the dead, He kept preaching about the kingdom of His Father, the kingdom of God. And he gets the disciples in a holy huddle and he says, wait in Jerusalem. Am I right? Are you with me? All right, let's power up now. Let's go to the next level on that dimmer switch. And you will, or you shall, receive power, that which when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He was talking to the 120. He didn't say, oh, sorry, no, you missed out. Oh, you've been here a while, you can have some power. Oh, she's getting married, she's too busy. He said to them, you shall receive power, that which when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the whole earth. So he's a bigger God than I thought he was. God is big. Revival is in his heart. To bring people back out of that realm of darkness into his wonderful light. And that power that he's placed in the Holy Spirit, that power he placed in those disciples in that upper room, that power that he released on that day of Pentecost, now resides in people like you and I. Amen? He wants to change us. He wants to change us from the inside out. He wants to make us bold. They spoke in tongues. They spoke in the languages of the people from foreign lands that were in Jerusalem. Words that they had never learnt before. And they began to speak. Friends, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. To be able to speak a language and someone to hear and say, what are you saying to me, Sarah? I can understand every... Where did you learn to speak that language? It came from the Holy Spirit. But for whose benefit was it? Was it for that little church group? It's for building the kingdom, because Jesus was about preaching the kingdom. The languages, the barriers, the stumbling blocks. Acts chapter 2 verse 11 talks about the wonders of God that those languages crossed. Because he said, you're going to be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world. You can't go to the outermost part of the world and expect everyone to understand Aussie. It's one of the worst English languages on planet Earth, I found out the other day. We're the most terrible English speakers around. You and I are saved and transformed so that we can inform the world of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved to be transformed so that we can proclaim the wonders of God. Are you a wonder of God? I am. I am a walking miracle. Out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Out of a place where I was never going to go to church again because it was full of hypocrites, to a place where I now lead a community as a father, as a spiritual father, not just to a church, but to a community. I love this quote I read the other day. It was from a Reverend Rick Kirchhoff. He's was German, yeah. He said this in English. When God sends forth the Spirit, amazing things happen. Barriers are broken. Communities are formed. Opposites are reconciled. Unity is established. Disease is cured. Addiction is broken. Cities are renewed. Races are reconciled. Hope is established. People are blessed. And church happens. I like the way he added that at the back. He went on to say, today, the Spirit of God is present and we continue to have church. So be ready. Get ready. God is up to something. I'm reading his quote. Listen to this. Discouraged folks, cheer up. Dishonest folks, confess up. Sour folks, sweeten up. Closed folks, open up. Gossipers, shut up. Conflicted folks, make up. Sleeping folks, wake up. Lukewarm folk, fire up. Dry bones, shake up. and pew potatoes stand up. But most of all, Christ, the Savior of all the world, is lifted up. My world, your world, our world must change because we've changed. I'm quiet on me. If you're not changed, how can you expect the world around you to change? Or are they changing you?